Johnny. Do you want to go to an ice cream social?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Great, let's go.
Ice cream social. Ice cream social. Ice cream social.
It's time for the episode of Matt and Mattingly's Ice Cream Social. Today, across from me is Paul Mattingly.
Across from me, it's Mr. Matt Donnelly.
On the knobs and dials is Jacob the Audio Guy.
Woohoo!
We're teaching fun. I was realizing that I always hear the word shabby in the phrase not too shabby, but I rarely hear it as its own descriptive word.
Like, oh, that's shabby.
Shabby chic?
Yeah. I guess shabby chic, maybe I've heard. Mm-hmm. But I never just look at something like, oh, that's shabby.
Yeah.
No.
You don't look at like a messy room.
Yeah, I'd be like, hey, why so shabby over
clean
here?
Clean up this shabby room.
Yeah. It sounds like you're starting a scat and you stop. Shabby.
And stop.
Yep. What's the matter, Cab Calloway? Did you stroke out? Keep going. Shabby doo boo doo ba da ba 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 dee bee shabby da ba bow.
That's the full shabby.
That's
hey, boys,
the full shabby.
This room is looking shabby dee bee ba 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 doo da ba da ba doo da ba wow. And be like, Dad, stop singing. I'll be like, I will when you clean up your room.
Oh.
That'd be great.
I
just sing at your children until they clean their room.
This room is literally filled with scat.
We flew to Pittsburgh for this vacation. And we flew with my boys. I had to buy plane tickets for my children now above the age where they can sit on her lap and travel for free.
Is this the first time for the youngest?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. He might have done small trips to like LA or something.
Gotcha.
But that's not true. We've never done that. It's got to be his first flight.
Okay.
Keeler has flown. My oldest has flown.
Mm-hmm. He's a world traveler.
Yeah. And my youngest is doing this bit. It's like, where he just says like, you know, like, hey, you know, pal, you want to do this? I'm a lobster. Oh, I'm sorry. Lobster. Please brush your teeth.
Right.
You know, I'm a squirrel, you know. And I guess this is like a big elaborate setup because as soon as I got alone with my cousins downstairs, he said, I'm a god.
And
everybody referred to him as a god. And he's really not bratty about it. He's really kind of clever about it. So like if I'd be like, hey, Hill, get over here. He'd be like, you mean Falcon? I'm like, yes, I mean Falcon.
And then
like,
he comes over.
Yeah, and then he comes over. Yeah. And he listens, which is great. And I was like, this has all been one elaborate setup for him to be treated like a god. He's a cult leader at 3 years old. He's figured it out.
Jim Jones.
So one of the things, again, like Las Vegas, perhaps more, not maybe not unique to Las Vegas, but much more likely Las Vegas.
Okay.
Is going to take a flight and the person you're going to be flying with is hungover.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So we get the kids to the airport nice and early, looking for a couple of seats to sit them down, put our mm-hmm. bags down. Mm-hmm. And before we load the plane, and there's a guy who's really worse for wear, sitting three seats in, right? And he sees us approaching, and his bag is in the way of the two seats. And as we approach, he does nothing to move his bag out of the way of the two seats, which is airport courtesy.
Yes.
I've seen many a person move the bag that's in front of the open chair.
It's a dick move to not move the bag.
Not only does he not move the bag, he takes out a blanket and covers himself from head to toe.
Wow.
Completely turtles himself because he's hungover and sees two children approaching him.
And he's just like, I'm out.
I mean, it's not good for the podcast, but I have a picture.
Okay.
All the way over his head.
Yeah, he completely covered himself head to toe. And I had to just take a picture of him.
Oh, wait, like he covered his head completely as well.
Yeah.
Wow.
He literally was like, oh my God, I'm so hungover. Here come kids.
That's crazy.
He's like, if I can't see them, they can't see me.
He went ghost.
I guess so.
He's trying to ghost it up.
I think so.
Are you sure that he was not a member of the Ku Klux Klan?
Oh, he could have been.
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not, quite frankly. This is what happened.
Wow. Matt is showing me a picture, apparently, of just the blanket.
Get out.
That appears to just be a blanket.
That guy has had a tough time.
And that purple bag that's by his feet,
uh-huh.
I moved it there.
Oh, nice.
And also, the blanket, I'm not sure that that's not a hotel bed blanket.
It looks kind of
like the fuzzy blanket that sometimes is between the sheet and the comforter.
Okay, he fucking SLS. You may have my money, but I've got your goddamn quilt. Suck it.
He just woke up from his bed and just walked straight. Blanket in hand.
I might have lost 20 grand, but I have this.
I'm taking this blanket.
This lamb's wool blanket is mine, you shit.
Oh, I'm so upset. Bill Simmons did a live podcast at Caesars at the Barge.
He did.
So, guys.
Yeah.
Tell me if you think this is weird. Ann and I
virtually anything that you start with that with those words, I'm probably going to say yes.
Finally, I'm leaning towards yes already.
Yeah.
Finally go to complete our taxes.
Okay.
We well know it all took us a while to get our K-1 forms.
Yeah,
that's right.
For our LLC all squared away. So we'd had what we call a deferment.
We'd all filed extensions.
Extension filed.
For our personal
refractory
taxes.
Tax
I'm
refractory
with the H&R Block, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I finally, we've got the form.
They operate an aircraft carrier covered in cash. H&R Block does, according to their commercials.
They sure do. Talk to Ann. We've got a day off together.
Okay.
I'm like, all right, you know what we're going to do? We're going to get up nice and early, and we're going to get this tax thing done.
We're going to be a couple of H&R Blockheads.
Before I'm off on my trip, she's got her trip coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Before we do vacations, let's get this off of the mind plate.
Great.
Right? So I call up. I got online. I found a new H&R Block. So we went to one that's seasonal up by Summerlin.
So you went to one that's just open during tax season.
We've been going there for a long time. Time to get a new spot. Well,
by the way, this is what people tune into this podcast for, is tax. Not even just general tax discussions, but Paul's tax discussion.
Yeah, July tax. July taxes.
I want you to trust me.
That's never failed me before.
We still haven't gotten to the where this is weird part, right?
Yeah.
Seems
to be the setup.
This is the new place, the new office. It's close to our new digs.
Okay.
Which are in a more interesting part of town. I'll put it there.
If you're wondering if I think it's weird that you use the word interesting, then yes. If that's the weird part, then I agree.
We get our appointment set up 10 a.m., which is the middle of the night for me. But we go. We show up. We walk through the door.
Mm-hmm.
We find the lady who's going to do our taxes.
Great.
Oh, I'm so glad y'all showed up. I wasn't even going to be in here till 2. I thought, oh, boy, if these people don't show up. Oh, boy. But you did. Okay. This is the beginning. This is the wait.
I just like that message. Oh boy. I'm glad you showed up when you said you're going to show up because I do something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I know an accountant's life is weird.
Sure.
Do you know an accountant's life is weird? Because let me tell you about an accountant whose life is weird.
Go on.
We sit down.
Uh-huh.
Weird.
What has to be done...
In chairs?
What has to be done is one more form...
You've already
to be added to our...
Yeah, you've already compiled the rest of your finances.
Yes. One more form needs to be added. What time frame are you looking at here?
One more form.
Yeah.
15 minutes.
Okay.
I was
especially because she knew the type of form you were going to be getting and the approximate income from that form, right?
So you would think that she would have all of her forms ready to go. I was going to guess 20 minutes.
Okay.
So Matt and I we're in about the same time frame here.
We sit down. We've been there for maybe 2 minutes. Her phone blows up. She answers the phone.
Good.
It's a phone call from her son who is in jail.
Newly in jail or has been in jail?
Has been in jail.
Okay.
And will be in jail.
Okay.
Oh, so it wasn't like you got to come get your son out of jail?
Hey, Mom, I'm in jail.
This is what it's all about. The problems of why we can't get him out of jail. It's close to the holiday. Finances are fucked. On and on and on.
Uh-huh.
Oh, like bail?
Yeah. Like we're not going to do bail. That's a waste of money. It's only going to be a few more days. You're supposed to be out today, but the system isn't letting him out today. So that means tomorrow's the 4th. He won't be out on the 4th.
He's going to be in jail till the 5th.
He's going to be in jail till maybe next week.
Yeah. That's a problem.
Now,
and
I'll say this.
She took this call in front of you?
She took several calls in front of us. No less than 8 calls. No less than 8 like extended phone calls.
Like, she didn't walk away from the desk?
No.
Or...
I know.
In front of a client.
Don't even.
That I would walk away from talking to my son.
Let me tell you.
If Keeler called you and said, "Dad, I'm in jail."
I can't count the number of F-bombs that were dropped. I can't count all the shits. I mean, I'm not a stickler for quote-unquote professionalism.
But you do have a bar somewhere.
Well, I have things to do.
I will tell you, even at like, a Starbucks, like I despise someone coming in the middle of an interaction,
mm-hmm.
let alone my taxes.
Yeah.
Where someone just starts yabbering in someone's ear, or like you're in the middle of taking your order and someone's up and goes, blah, 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 blah. I remember I was at the airport and all of a sudden like an employee got over and they were laughing. They were talking and laughing so loudly that I had to shout my order. I was the only one online. I had to shout my order to the person because they were talking to a coworker who had just clocked out, and they were laughing so loudly over my shoulder while I was talking to the person trying to get coffee that I had to shout my order, and I was so angry.
Mm-hmm.
And you're already in a situation where you need coffee.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's like, and that's just coffee, not alone getting my taxes done.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine talking to my accountant and something interrupting my accountant while they're supposed to be focusing on me. I'm paying them to focus on me and how my life works.
Right.
Oh.
So
now my sympathy is somewhat with this woman because number one, I'm dazed because of the hour of the day.
Okay.
So I don't even know what's happening really.
Yeah.
The surreal nature of the whole thing is just gripping me by the short and curlies.
Yeah.
And just slamming me against the wall. I'm like, am I really hearing multiple calls from jail to this woman's phone? And then just every other relative chiming in. I mean, don't even.
By the second call, interesting, because you're H&R Block. Can you get help? Because you're not like just, if you're your own accountant.
Oh, it's true.
Do you know what I mean?
Can you just go to a different accountant?
Like,
in
does
H&R, the
H&R Block have your file? Or does she only have your file? Because I would say.
H&R Block.
Because I would think the advantage is like, that's where you get up, you walk over to like, you know.
But is she the only, is she the only accountant in the room?
This was it.
Because everybody else is coming in at 2.
Yeah. If that.
And she came in at 10.
I don't know. I made an appointment. I thought making an appointment would help.
Right. It's like the old Seinfeld bit.
By the time...
You're good at taking the reservation.
By the time we're done, we've learned about her history,
mm-hmm.
where she's lived for the past 20 years.
Good.
Her daughter's history, her daughter's miscarriages.
Whoa!
And the fact that no abortions go down in her family. They don't do that. After the 5th call from jail.
Is she telling
from her
you this,
son?
Or are you just
she's
overhearing
She's telling
on the phone.
Us this.
By the
she's
way.
She's telling us how she doesn't do abortions in her family. And I mean, Ann and I just looking at each other like wanting to explode from just, do you understand what you're saying while you are receiving a phone call from your son from jail? You are telling me. You are really against abortion.
Yes, the amount of miscarriages a woman has had and their family's no abortion policy,
yeah.
I'm a little suspect about those two pieces of information.
Right. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
It was not. It was a dead baby.
Paul knows all about it.
We learned. The dead baby. And you know, of course, Jesus comes up over and over again. This is what the Lord's put on my heart. This is what the Lord's had me do. I just want to be like, so the Lord is all about this phone call from your son in jail. Oh,
did you find out why the son was in jail?
Parking fines.
Oh, okay.
And outstanding tickets. This is why my sympathy was with her.
Oh, I've been in jail for these very reasons.
Because okay. This was really fucked up. Because
I think Nevada did that.
They do.
I know they do, because I had a ticket last year, because I take my traffic tickets to a ticket attorney.
Yeah.
And he messed something up. And so all of a sudden there was a warrant out for me. And they the lawyer had to take care of it. And he was like, yeah,
So he
straight up told me, he was like, drive carefully for the next 2 days while I'm taking care of it, because if you get pulled over, they will arrest you and take
you
to jail.
So that's what happened. Her son was in an argument with his girlfriend.
Okay.
Authorities were called to the scene of the argument.
Ay, ay, ay.
And he was taken.
These are not things that you want to tell. If you're people are coming to you with their finances for a year. These are not things that they should know.
No.
You don't think?
No.
You don't think?
If I see you in a bar, feel free to not tell me all
but
this.
But here's what was really upsetting.
I'm a podcaster where all I do is talk about my life, and I would probably keep this out of it.
Yeah. Here's what was really upsetting was that he was in jail because he was unable to pay $500.
Yeah. Okay.
You know it costs more than $500 for the state to keep him in jail for these several days.
I know. It's just
it's fucked up, right?
Right.
So my sympathy is there, and my whole feeling,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake, this is what's wrong with everything.
Okay.
This is just awful. So I'm feeling that. But then things just keep going.
I'm with you on the sympathy for the son. I'm not with you on this should be discussed in front of you in any way.
Oh, my God.
I'm not with you on discussing abortion with your clients, pro or against, in any way.
Yep.
With a client. You're my accountant. But I don't want to know your religious views.
So she's working on getting a new fiance. She's apparently close to being engaged.
Oh, good.
With a new guy.
Oh, fingers crossed.
Well, and apparently he was asking her about a baby.
Mm.
Yeah, and she's like, well, I still have all my parts. If the Lord puts that on me, maybe, but it could happen, but I don't know if that's what I'm ready for or not. I mean, 3 hours.
No.
Three hours.
So you watched the other accountants come in?
She had to get the assistance of another mid-level manager to figure out what was going on with the form to get something else in there that wasn't, because of a certain click she had to do on a different little sub menu that she wasn't quite ready for.
Yeah.
She finally figured it out. 3 hours.
Oh my God.
To import one more tax form into our already almost complete. And I'm like, you must be getting paid by the hour.
That's what I'm wondering.
That's the only explanation.
I was about to ask, are you paying by the hour for this experience?
I'm not.
You're paying just a service fee.
I paid. All I had to pay was one more $100 fee for the completion of this process.
Yeah.
Yes. So I wasn't going to be out of pocket. I was out of off day.
You're out of your mind.
God damn it.
Okay,
we had both estimated an hour.
Right.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you and I have talked about your accountant before, because I've told you that you ought to start going to my accountant.
I've never talked to you about this accountant. I've never had this accountant before in my life.
No, but in general.
I've just talked about going to H&R Block and being.
So let me ask you this.
Oh, believe me. The whole time I'm like, yeah, it's probably going to be worth it for me to talk to Jacob about getting with his professional next year.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to probably spend a little more money.
I mean, I'm okay with our showbiz accountant too, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the whole process, because you said you paid an extra $100 for this.
Yeah.
My accountant did not charge me any additional for...
I mean, it wasn't additional. It was just what had to be. It was the last piece of the fee. It was like $300 for the whole kit and caboodle.
So you paid $40 less for your accountant than I paid for mine this year.
Okay. All right. Well, next year things are going to change.
That is the additional
time equals money.
Yeah.
Yeah. And no, that's a different. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I always say, like,
because I mean, and literally, I went in one day, dropped off a pile of papers to our accountant, signed a couple of things. Real quick. I mean, that whole initial visit took 10 minutes.
Right.
Emailed just the scan of our final form in. And then SJ and I went in, did the final signatures. And the last meeting took 10, 15 minutes.
Okay.
And most of that was talking with our accountant about setting up a new LLC for SJ. So it was talking about future stuff.
Right. Yeah. No. I need some cards.
Yep. Yeah.
I need some info. We're gonna fix this next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that'll take a lot of.
I think you should give this girl another shot.
I want to have her on the podcast.
I was so tired. I was so tired, and so just bewildered by this whole process that she was handing me her card and everything as we were going. And I was like, oh, "We might look you up next year," you know. Yeah. And we walked outside, and Anne looked at me just like, "Are you crazy?"
And Anne lit that card on fire.
I mean, we learned about how she was a Lyft driver. We learned about the problems with her van and the warranty on her van. The fact that the van door wouldn't open properly. It was a chain on her van door that wouldn't open properly. She had bumper-to-bumper coverage, or so she thought, from this outside company. Apparently, the van door isn't bumper-to-bumper. It sure is in between those bumpers. That's what I'd say.
I mean, this sounds like a very talkative person.
Oh, my Christ.
And when you are around a person who is that talkative for 3 hours, you're going to learn a lot about that person.
My God, we learned everything. We learned everything.
Also, you're bringing up like a personality type, which is like, I remember going to, it was in college. This was actually right before I dropped out.
Uh-huh.
But I, you know, basically like all my stuff was stolen. Including my, my cumulative work for the semester for a couple of classes. And
okay.
Stuff. And I went there being like, it's all stolen. I don't know how to replace it. I know it's part of my grade, blah, 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 blah. And I live like, this is happening and that's happening and this is what's going on. And I'm just having a hard time, you know, kind of thing. And in a very caring way, she said, this is Dr. Sue Trouth.
Okay.
She said, Matt, you know, things sometimes just have a way of happening to certain people.
Mm-hmm.
Like once they kind of create a certain outlook, it kind of just will keep happening to them over and over and over again.
I like this person.
Yeah. Like it was said in such a caring way that it wasn't until like halfway through she was telling me it was my fault.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And then it was like, she let me come around with her. And then like by then she's kind of like, you kind of got to start changing. She basically was like, stop being a victim.
Yeah.
You got to start changing your outlook a little bit.
I like this person.
She was absolutely a seminal person in my life.
She is not the reason you dropped out of college.
No. And in fact, I did drop out, but we stayed in touch.
Oh, nice.
Like we communicate with each other once in a while, once in a while out of the blue or something like that. She wrote a book and stuff like that.
Okay.
And so it's, you know, she's been retired.
Lovely.
She also went to college with my high school drama teacher.
Okay.
So they were friends. So when he passed away, we exchanged messages. But it was the kind of thing of like, I remember that conversation very much like, oh, wow, this is, you're telling me something here, you know?
Well, speaking of having your shit stolen,
yeah,
she had her stuff stolen. and what happened was somebody got her ID stuff. So, you know, identification theft.
Mm.
And so she went through years of this, hundreds and hundreds of dollars, and just trying to get things taken care of. She finally paid like $600 to this person to take care of it. And it was worth it. But you know what? If she was able to recommend other people to this person, she could get a little bit of a discount. So she ended up recommending two other friends to this person. So it ended up only being $400 instead of the $600 because for each additional person, she got $100 off.
Why but it was do you still know worth this?
And I look, Aunt, when Ann and I came home, we were like, no fucking wonder you got victimized by identity theft. I could pretend to be you at this point. Yes. I know everything about your fucking life.
You could fool her family.
You have
members.
I could totally call. I could call
all
your
of
son.
Her security
I questions. Could call your son. Exactly. I know everything about you. You are not holding any cards to the test. You are an open book. Good fuck me. Jesus H. Christ. Fuck.
See, and SJ makes fun of me for exactly the opposite of this. Because I can have a 3-hour long conversation with someone, and at the end of the conversation, they will realize that they know nothing about me at all.
But Jacob, you're a cipher.
I don't know what you mean.
You're a cipher. You're just a blank slate spook of a man. Just a spy like.
There's nothing about me to know.
Exactly. You're a whisper in the wind. You're like, is that Jacob? Maybe. I don't know.
Could be.
What is Jacob?
Maybe that's what it is.
That's it. That's
I'll point that out to SJ next time.
It's like, yeah, that's who you are.
And since that conversation with Dr. Trout,
yes,
I have identified the other moments where I've seemed to go down my victim rabbit hole and go back to that conversation, right? And I've learned to identify this trait in others and distance myself from those people accordingly, right? Like,
yeah,
there's
you don't, can smell it.
Yeah, there's a trigger to like, I must save this person or I like this person. I'll help them out this one time, and if I just help them out this one thing, no, it's gonna just keep going away. Mm-hmm. And I've encouraged that. Like my youngest brother is 13 years younger than me. I've had a couple of conversations with him being like, no, this is not you. You don't help that person.
Right.
That person needs to help themselves. You're not responsible for that person.
Right.
I know your friends. I know your roommates. Get away.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're about to get looped up in this toxic shit.
I do not want that quality in any way.
Yeah.
In my accountant. I want my accountant to be a quiet nerd.
Because you don't want to get a phone call. No. My office got broken into. Yeah. All of your stuff got stolen.
Yeah.
The good news is I have someone that you can call that I'll get $100 off if you use.
Here's things we didn't get you a discount for that I should have, but here's the things that went wrong that why your thing got filed before I got to include these things or you're going to get audited.
Right.
Yes. I'm just going to straight up get audited.
Well, that thing that I fucked up 7 years ago, that's coming back.
We took out the audit insurance and all that shit. So,
oh, yeah, no, H&R Block does that. Yeah.
Yeah, but Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you need to go to my accountant.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Because I
wonder if, and this is not fair, and someone can write me and correct me on this, but there's a theory I have right now in my head.
Uh-huh.
Theory is a strong word. There's a thought that just popped in my head right now.
Mm.
That H&R Block is the massage envy of accountants.
I'm wondering.
I'm thinking you're right.
You know, like every time I go to a massage envy and the person is good,
right.
If I request them a month later, they're gone.
There. Yeah.
Because they've gotten hired somewhere else that pays better.
Yeah.
Or they work.
It's what happens
hours.
With the Fremont Street security. They hire giant quotes. I can't make quotes large enough for this. Security people. They have security people.
Paul just attached extensions to his pointer and middle finger to make huge quotes.
They hire security people, and so these guys walk around. If anyone of them is appears to be sentient, they are often quickly snagged by the casinos, who then hire them for the private casino security.
Oh, yeah.
So
you might still see them every now and then, but they're not, all of a sudden now they're just in front of the Golden Nugget.
Right.
Yeah.
If they have been with the Fremont giant quotes, security team,
the security force.
Do they have bikes?
Some.
Do they have Segways?
Some do. No Segways.
Oh,
they walk mostly.
I like the ones on Segways.
If they've been with that security force for more than a year,
that means they're basically just a refrigerator box.
They're a goldfish.
That is able to move around.
They're a goldfish.
Yeah.
They're a goldfish. A goldfish with a walkie-talkie.
Yeah.
These are the things that when Paul took the new gig, these are some of the things I was hoping would come from
right.
Because Fremont is its own zoo.
God damn it.
So it really is.
Oh.
And people are very curious
about it. It's taken me 3 months to get to rage level, but I'm there. So I'm gonna look for something else. Not that this gig is terrible.
You like within the confines of the gig, you like the gig.
You're fine with
85% of it.
Right. That's fine.
There's some dumb shit. That
but that's anyone's. That's
there.
Anyone's job.
That's everywhere, yeah, right?
That's exactly. A great every, job. You only like 85%.
Every job is
your
a job.
New job has become a job.
Yeah. Every job is a job. Always. I mean, it was always. It's fine. Yeah. But yeah.
But Fremont.
Fuck Fremont.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it will. And it's not. You know, we all have the same thing. We go to casinos to work almost all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the combination of traffic on the Strip.
Sure.
The sea of humanity that barely resembles humanity.
Yeah.
And the kind of behavior that people engage in this town on the reg.
Yeah.
It wears on the old psychic noggin after a while.
I hear you, man. I always said, like, you know, like when I lived in Harlem, it gave me less faith in humanity than more faith in terms of like getting inner city people who are struggling out of their situation.
Not say I don't love this town. I do love this town. And I understand that
craziness is what fuels our economy.
Sure.
Is what makes... But...
I look at these things in a completely different way.
Yes.
Maybe it's because I'm a cipher, as you say, Paul.
You are.
But I was just... I had some in-laws in town the other day. I had my brother and sister-in-law, SJ's brother and sister-in-law. And
well,
our
that
three,
explains it.
And our three nieces.
No, I'm just kidding. I just wanted to burst.
And we took them to see Love the other night. Okay. We wanted to go see RJ and Mystère. Mystère was not playing the night that they were in. So,
right.
So we went and saw Love. And as we were leaving, walking through the Mirage Hotel and Casino back towards the parking garage, you walk past the One Oak Nightclub, which is one of the nightclubs in the Mirage Casino.
Can I real
there.
Quick on One
Go
Oak?
Ahead.
I remember leaving the last time I went to see Love.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, as you leave back into the parking garage,
you walk right past the entrance for the,
right
for the nightclub.
The entrance for the nightclub. One Oak Nightclub's entrance, on the fucking sign, it says, One Oak, New York, L.A., Las Vegas, one of a kind. Those are the words.
Oh, that's wonderful.
On the goddamn marquee.
Oh, that is wonderful.
Illuminated. I wanted to tear my eyes out.
But I was so happy because I'm there with my brother and sister-in-law and their three daughters who are 18, 13, and 6.
So the 18-year-old is there.
Right.
She's in it.
Well,
we're going to One Oak.
We're walking through here, and we're walking past the line, and I'm walking next to the 18-year-old. And
right.
she points at the line and says, what's this for? So that's the nightclub. And I looked at her, and I said, look.
She dropped a smoke bomb.
Yeah.
And then she was just
in we're out of here. Yeah.
I said, I'm happy if you want to, now you're 18. She's also fairly newly 18.
Okay.
Said, I'm happy for you to go do, I'm happy for you to be a nightclub person. Go be a nightclub person. There is a specific
pool.
What I said was, I said, I don't care if you go to nightclubs all the time. Do not stand in line to go to the nightclubs.
Whoa!
If you have to stand in line to go to the nightclub, that means that you do not have enough pull to go to that nightclub anyway. So you have no...
You're not going to enjoy it.
Yes. Like that means you're just going to be standing in a sea of humanity just in that. And that's not fun.
So when I was...
You want to be in the VIP entrance. You want to be. You want to have some kind of hookup to get in there.
This is some Vegas shit right here.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah. When I was doing the improv classes for the pickup artist guys.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah.
So one of the things was like how to get in, how to use your clout. So what they all do... did I tell you guys this?
You never talked about this class
no.
for the longest
right, so
time.
So here's the scam.
I forgot about.
Here's the scam. It's not a scam. It's just
the routine.
This is what they do. They bring dudes in from all over the country
okay.
and all over the world.
This is this pickup artist group.
Yes. For 2 weeks to 4 months of intensive how to get ladies training.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what, how to mack on chicks.
How to get some stank on the hang low.
Precisely
Which,
that.
I'm not completely against.
Sure.
There are...
You're not against social training.
No. I know that the end result can feel gross, and there certainly are elements of pickup artistry
yes.
being taught that are absolutely gross. The concept as a whole, I'm for, and that the kind of person that would reach out for a class
mm-hmm.
is the kind of person that, without a class, I'm more worried about them.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes sense. And it's also a huge part of it is just learn social cues.
Yes.
Learn what people... When someone stands with their shoulders to you,
yeah,
when not facing you directly, but stands with their shoulders to you and looks back over their shoulder and says something to you and then turns around,
yeah,
understand that that person is being dismissive of you.
Yeah.
And you don't need to continue to try to carry on a conversation with that person.
Right.
Because those are the kinds of
Move
simple
on.
Social cues that a lot of these people don't, they just don't understand.
Yeah.
I only caught the tail end of a few of the actual courses where they would show like from the club footage.
Yeah.
Like somebody would stand near and videotape an interaction with one of the pros.
Oh, how weird is the person with the video camera?
How weird is all
That's
of it?
A weird person.
It was like phone cam stuff.
I understand. Still a weird person.
It's all surreptitious and whatnot. But, a little bit of that whole negging thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which gets a little kind of eh. But the key to the whole system is
they get these guys in from everywhere. They put them into a TAM class immediately.
Oh.
And they get them TAM cards, which makes them essentially qualified to be barbacks,
right,
handlers of alcohol, and able to work in that kind of environment.
TAM card is basically a health card.
And what that does...
Which everyone who wants to be a bartender or serve alcohol in any way, you have to have.
Yeah. And what that does, or did, I think some places are onto this now, what that did was that allowed for free entry on industry nights.
Yes.
So anytime any club has industry night, you present your TAM card. Clearly, I'm working here in the city.
Right.
Yeah. I'm one of you guys. Let me in your club for free. So that's how they get free club access. So they're never paying cover charges.
Yeah. Now industry nights for bars and clubs. Now you have to either show proof that you work on a show or like what facility you work in.
Right.
You have to show the.
I was going to say I'm sure they've cracked down on this because this was a.
If you say you work in a bar, they want to see proof of what.
You know who
you
wasn't
work
cracking
at.
Down on this? The TAM card people, right? They were probably making a lot more money if people trying to
TAM
get
card
TAM
people.
Cards.
TAM card is happy to give out TAM cards.
Yeah.
When your job is giving
we
out TAM cards,
we hand the card. Yeah. You so pay us.
The other weird,
perfectly happy.
The weird tip was once you're in the club, don't buy drinks because they're so expensive.
Yeah.
Bring a collapsible cup or just use your hands and go to the bathroom and drink out of the sink. To stay hydrated. Like, they were like, whatever you do, don't spend money on bottled water in the club. Like, that was a big no-no.
What's the actual
These guys are not super wealthy.
And they're going out to clubs every night while they're here.
And so it's like...
I guess so.
And it's seriously, it's like...
It is like $15 for a bottle of water.
Right? Yeah, I understand.
It becomes crazy real quick. So, and you can't bring anything in.
Which goes back to my point about the hookup. Because as soon as you have the hookup, you go up to the bar, you go to your person. Yeah. You'd be like, can I get a glass of ice water? And they'll give you a free glass of ice water.
Right. But these guys don't have that.
If you don't even have that.
No. So this is Bear
Grylls. And when I say like hookup for that means just like... talking to the server for 2 minutes. Yeah. Like that's not like, oh, you have to be in some kind of no.
Yeah.
You don't have to walk in and all blacks carrying a ladder to do that.
Man. So this is Bear Grylls for living in a club.
That's Jacob's pickup artist class. Yeah. Ladder.
Get you some black clothes and a ladder.
You'll be
in.
You'd probably get a lot farther, actually. And you know what? They would love to have you as a guest speaker. I'm sure.
Oh, but what I was saying...
It's fascinating, but just ridiculous.
What I was saying about the One Oak thing, though, was walking past with my family. They were... You know, the 18-year-old wanted to know, and then the rest of the family was just looking at the people who were in line.
Mm.
When you walk past the nightclub, Paul, because you're saying how these things bother you on Fremont Street and everything. When you walk past the nightclub, what is your emotional response to those people who are in line, especially if they are blocking your way? Because they're taking up all the room... And you're having to get through them.
Oh.
What is your emotional response
to
that?
My first emotional response is usually concern.
Okay.
Concern first for myself.
Okay.
Like, is there going to be a fucking group of chads in here trying to, you know, frat boy the shit out of myself or somebody else?
Okay.
And then dismissive apathy.
Were you bullied in grade school?
I don't know. What was that? Yes, of course, Jacob. Yes. Fuck. And so,
I asked that because I've never had that thought walking through. Like, concern for myself never crosses my mind going through that. So that's interesting.
Yeah. No, concern for myself, but then also concern for the people who are in the line because there is a mix of people in the line.
Yes.
Some of those people are there. You clearly look at some groups and you're like, you are from Wisconsin.
There is a predator and prey mentality.
That's exactly it. It's like, who's the guppy? Who's the shark? And
right.
And you can really quickly pick it out.
Right.
Especially since I know what else is going on. That and again, the pickup stuff is low level
tier
skeeve.
One.
Yeah, low level skeeve as to what's.
Yeah,
I have no clue.
Versus that's,
the drugging right. And all that. Yeah, that shit. The drugging, the human trafficking, the next level shit.
See, none of that stuff crosses my mind. I go through those things and I look at them. I will go out of my way on occasion leaving Caesar's Palace has the biggest nightclub in town in Vegas.
Yep.
And I will go out of my way walking through Caesar's to walk past Omnia nightclub.
Just to go see what's going
just
on.
Just to see the sea of
just
humanity.
Just the human zoo.
Yeah.
It's a sight.
It is fascinating to me. And I love it. I really enjoy it.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm not like repulsed by it.
Yeah.
But it is. It does give me
We got past all of it. My sister-in-law looked at me and goes, I just saw a woman back there who I believe forgot her pants.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. Yeah, you only saw one? Okay.
That's what I find, like, moving from New York to here.
Mm-hmm.
In club scenes in New York, if I ran into that, you just always was like, fuck, I'm poor. And right. Man, you got to have a lot of money to be doing what they're doing. And it's just a whole different lifestyle that I just can't access as an improv teacher here in this city. Right. Yeah. Here, it's not pros that are hitting the clubs.
No. It's anybody.
In New York, if they're on the line, they've probably tried on the clothing that they're wearing into the club before they got online for the club. Here, people just buy things, throw in the suitcase, they try it for the first time, and then they just walk out the door.
You're right on that, too.
Yes.
A lot of ill-fitting suits on men.
A lot.
Ill-fitting suits, ill-fitting dresses.
Yep.
Just, everybody's wearing clothes that they are noticeably uncomfortable in.
That they will never wear again.
Right.
That they can't balance on their shoes.
That's what
it's women who are constantly pulling their dresses down because they're uncomfortable with how short they are.
Yes. Carrying their shoes in their hands and realize how comfortable it was and how long the hallways are here. Mm-hmm. It is everyone trying out their big swinging selves for the first time here. There's a lot, and that's the perspective. When I look at the line, I'm always just looking for amateur hour.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, who's got the most amateur hour going on here? Who just didn't understand what they were in for?
Yeah.
Who just kind of understood things philosophically, but did no actual reconnaissance on the experience itself? That's what I'm looking for in a Vegas club experience.
Oh,
Man, it's been a while since I've gone to any kind of club here. I used to go all the time when Jersey Boys was at the Palazzo. We used to, we used to always do a lot. Jersey Boys was the hot show, and so we got a lot of club access, and we would say yes to that access.
I've been to maybe three clubs ever.
I don't miss it at all.
I say no to the Absinthe, because Absinthe gets club access.
Yeah.
And so I say no to those. I used to go every now and then if we were having a party. So like a show that I would be working for, like they'd get a couple of cabanas or something like that. And I would go to that because we had our own private area where nobody was bothering us and everything.
You just said
and
the magic
and it's
word.
Not the, being in a, it's not being in the club.
Jacob said the only word that will still make me go to one now.
Cabana.
Cabana is the only word that I will go. Yeah.
Because it is a large, secluded, private area.
Then I'm actually going to hang out with friends.
Now, cabana to me says daytime, and I'm not down.
No, they do nighttime outdoor stuff that have cabanas
and,
as well.
And outdoor also, I'm like, no.
Also having this conversation, I realize now that I'm now old enough that no one hits me up for club information anymore.
Yeah. Oh.
Because it used to be they hit me up for club stuff, and I had names.
Yes.
Right. That's what used to happen when I first moved here.
Text this person.
People would come in from out of town and be like, look, hey, I know we haven't talked or whatever. How you doing? How's it? Hey, do you have any hookups to clubs or whatever? Right. And I did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then that would happen, and I didn't. Like, because what happens is everyone moves around,
right?
And then everyone in the industry switches over a ton.
For a long time, my next door neighbor was one of the big club promoters in town, and so I would just have everyone text him, and he could get you into any nightclub in town. It was really convenient.
That was very nice, right?
Yeah.
Now no one even hits me up anymore. That's how old I am.
Yeah.
No one even asks me about club stuff anymore, which is great.
I
would just laugh now. I think if someone were like, "Do you have a club?" I'd be like, "No, I'm a father of two, 40." Nope.
I have a friend in town right now who hit me up last night. Texted me and said, said all of the kind of like, you probably don't know about this, but I'll ask you anyway because this is a weird, stupid tourist question. I don't know who else to ask.
Yeah. Right.
Said I don't want to get
Las Vegas Boulevard the Strip the same thing.
Says I don't want to get a prostitute.
What's
but,
one notch down?
Qualifier.
But. Do you know a good rub and tug place?
I was gonna say, but dismisses everything that comes before.
Yep.
Right? That's what we learn in improv.
Yep.
I don't want a prostitute,
but I'd like a prostitute.
I'd like to pay someone to have sex with me.
What's a good prostitute place? But you know, not prostitute prices.
And you sent them to a tug of war training facility.
Yes.
Rub and tug.
I
sent them to Paul Mattingly's address.
Come on down.
I'll rub you. I'll tug you. But I'll tug you like your arms.
If the money's right, man, I am not.
There's a
no.
price.
There's absolutely a price, and it is a lot less than you think.
So I sent him to sent him to an area of town. I mean, I had an answer for him. I was like, I sent him to an area of town that has
there's a collection of spas on Spring Mountain Road.
Yep.
That I'm positive I would never walk in with my wife.
Yep.
That's usually my rule.
Yeah, that's
when
you
I walk
know.
In. Would I be like, hey, let's both go get a foot massage.
There's right. a spot right next to McMullen's.
Yeah,
there is. Oh, that's right, there is.
Yeah, there is.
Which when is we. Like, when we went there to have breakfast the other day, when Matt and I went with a scoop to have
is.
Breakfast,
oh, yeah, of course,
there was one of the ladies who works at this place in her basically like a little nightclub dress, and this is 10 a.m., 11 a.m. Uh-huh.
Yes,
she is outside with a squeegee,
clearly a masseuse.
cleaning the doors.
Yeah, clearly a masseuse.
Yes,
licensed masseuse.
Licensed.
No, there are often people standing. Just outside of that place, like you don't. There's not even a door. I've never seen the door open or close.
No,
I've only seen it light up and then people stand outside of it.
That place is fucking skeeve town.
excuse me, I have to go get a massage.
Right,
I'm tense all of a sudden.
Yeah, look how tense I am.
Release me. Oh, wait, my refractory period. I almost forgot.
Did he report back?
No, I haven't heard back. This was just yesterday that he texted me this. Oh, okay. I need to check with him today.
Yeah, let me know what that place was.
Yeah. I told her, I was like, I don't know the names of any of them. I can send you to the spot, though.
Was it clean?
That's what I'm very curious.
I also just like that would be one that you would, that Paul would engage in this activity, but also want to understand the cleanliness.
Yes.
Of the...
Oh, God. I would never...
Just for the cleanliness alone, you could never do it.
You would be so skeeved out the entire time. It'd be amazing.
No, there's no level of cleanliness that would be acceptable. You could show me. You could fucking Westworld fire torch that room.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'll still be like, I'm going to. No.
Ghosts of other men's jizz.
And forget about it. Forget about it. It could be a sprinkler system filled with bleach. I'm not trusting it.
Oh, that all makes me so happy.
Oh, sprinkler system filled with
episode
bleach.
Title.
We should do some listener mail, yeah?
We sure should.
Message for you, son.
We got one here from the Salt Lake Scoop. Hey guys, with the new season of Fool Us upon us, I thought I would write in with my experience going to the taping of Fool Us.
Oh, good. And one of the things I'll hop on this month will be I'll start reviewing the episodes.
Yeah.
I might just do it by myself on my iPhone. Just so I knock them out and don't fall behind like last year.
We requested tickets as soon as it was tweeted out as the tickets say, dress like you're going to a nice dinner. Don't wear any logos or busy patterns. I wore a pair of khaki pants and a nice dark blue polo shirt. My wife wore a nice magenta shirt and a long dark skirt. We attended two tapings, both on the same day, one at 1 p.m. and one at 7 p.m. The tapings were on Monday, so it was the third or fourth day of taping for the season. We got to the Penn & Teller Theater at 12:30. The staff was organized. You could tell that they had been at it for a few days. They put us in the back of a very long line. I overheard that with the ticket we had, we would get into the theater. I figured that we would be sat far away. The line began to move, and we were led into the theater. The people right in front of us got sat fairly far back in the theater. We were told, right up here, and we sat just a few seats directly to the left of Teller's seat. Mm. We were not given a reason. I believe it's because they know my wife looks great on television.
There you go.
That's, yes.
I'm sure that's why. Yeah.
They want good-looking people next to the hosts.
Yeah. A comedian, Shema, came out and gave us an idea of what we were in for. Shema was the warm-up comedian for
the last season.
And she just kills. She's so good at it. She came out and gave us an idea of what we were in for. She gave us directions on how to applaud and to react, which is what she is so good about. She is very, very good at giving the directions that the audience needs to have, you know, in order, because they are at a television taping, and then she's also very entertaining while she does it. She's just so good at it. She would also keep the energy going between foolers, sometimes being cut off in mid-joke. She did play audience tender, in which she set up single people on dates.
She does this all the time.
Great bit.
Because then people come back to multiple tapings, and she has follow-ups. It's great.
Oh, that's so good.
Do they have any of them worked?
Yes.
Marriages?
Yes. No, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
There was this really funny
maybe
tweet.
The next paragraph. Salt Lake Scoop left his wife and apparently went off with the person that he was set up with on Audience Tinder.
What?
Yeah, so there you go. So, yeah, and they're
that's
married
really
now.
That's really what that...
Yeah, they're married now.
That's really the next.
Wow, they already have three children.
Stop
I'm just
it.
Reading on. The rest.
You jackhole. There was this really great tweet that I stumbled onto that somebody had retweeted. This lady and her husband asked this gal if they could switch seats with her on an airplane.
Okay.
And in the quick little exchange, she was like, "Yeah, yeah." So the husband and wife could sit together. And then like, she's like, "Yeah, sure." And the one lady was like, "Hey, who knows? Maybe that person is going to sit next. You could be the love of your life." And just jokey. Yeah. And they sat right behind her. And then this hunky dude comes in. And she's got this whole long story.
Oh, I saw
Did
this.
You see that?
Yeah.
They're both fitness trainers.
Yeah.
End up talking. They leave the airplane together. They're walking hand in hand in the airport. By the time it's all done, like they exchange family photos and all kinds of stuff. Really funny. Really funny.
And that person was Salt Lick Scoop.
It was adorable.
Then with cameras rolling, we reacted enthusiastically to a good-looking stage director, Rob, giving us directions. We were told to look like we had just seen the grossest thing we'd ever seen. We were also told to yell out, "Snow tire," and there was no snow tire. A side note on PSS, Penn complained about applauding for a cake that was not on the set of some baking show. Listening to Penn talk about how stupid that was gave me a huge laugh since I had yelled "snow tire" in the Penn and Teller Theater with no snow tire.
Yeah. Busted. You already wrote this in the PSS, too. And Penn addressed this already.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Which he said he didn't say that he didn't engage in the practice of television. He just thought it was funny.
Oh, fair enough. Allison Hannigan came out and read some intros all the time with us clapping enthusiastically. Then it was time for the magic. For the taping, Penn and Teller did their trick first. They had a celebrity guest. It was a great trick. We then saw four potential foolers. Again, all great tricks. I won't go through them all. But the first one was a guy that Matt has talked about. He levitated a table. Now, just a few days before, I had watched The Worst Show in Vegas that has a great table levitation bit in it. It does. The magician in Worst Show in Vegas does a really nice table levitation. Blah, I'm just drunk. It's fine. So this guy comes out levitating a table, and I am totally thinking, is that it? I just saw this at Hooters Casino a few days ago. As Matt has said on ICS, this guy on Fool Us had an ending to the trick that blew my mind. They had to do some retakes, which kind of ruined it for my wife and I. But I enjoyed it. Watching him talk to Rob, who was talking to people in the back, negotiating what could be a reshot without the performer going backstage to reset his trick, it was a little bit of watching the sausage get made. The taping was done, and we left the theater at about 4:30 p.m. Whew, this is a long one.
This is quite a report.
This is just a report on a day at Fool Us. The second taping, we went to get started the same day. And we almost didn't go simply because we didn't think we would get as good of seats. We were staying at the Paris and had a free drink at Martorano's.
This is more becoming a report on their Vegas trip entirely.
Yeah. Which has very good calamari. There you go. We had one of those situations where we were done with dinner and our waiter disappeared. I ended up giving my credit card
like cigarettes
to a manager.
Probably from all the people smoking around us.
And explained we had a show that we needed to go to and we needed to scoot. It was very good service. We just misjudged how quickly we'd get out of there.
I was approached by a person promoting timeshares. We politely declined. He was persistent, yet we still managed unscathed. I did pay him $10 for an appointment that I don't plan on keeping.
Whoop. They make you pay for appointments now?
I actually got hooked on this. If you go to, not regular ones, but if you go to like bridal...
For like bridal shows?
Bridal expos, that kind of thing. If you're going to get married, they can go to these big expos. And timeshare people weasel their way in there. I remember one time being like, hey, you can... The guy fast talked into putting $10 down and being like, as soon as you show up, we'll give you $10 back. It's like an added incentive to make sure you show up for your appointment. And then I was like, but I'm going to go there. I'm going to get a free plane ticket anyway. So what do I care? And no, I just know.
Right.
I got hustled. I ended up leaving with a $100 gift card, but it took 4 hours to get through all four different salesmen trying to talk me into a timeshare.
So a tax audit and a half.
Well, what I was going to say is that this is where I go, where I talk, you know, what your story reminds me of, which is time does equal money.
Yeah.
So I feel like I feel like I did not make out on that experience.
Right.
The amount of hours and travel that went into making $100.
To get paid $25 an hour.
Yeah, but then left feeling belittled and horrible about myself.
Right.
And, oh, no, then, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the last tactic. The last guy comes in when you say no to three of the best salesmen
and
in the world.
And just tells you how poor you are.
Yes.
And, yeah.
And how much shame you should feel as a human being.
Yes. Let's see. So he got seated in the front row. He yelled salt pork at Matt, who was able to hear him, and they even hung out after the show. Let's see. I'm just skimming through now because there's a lot more of this email. You saw some other tricks. They were all great. Allison Hannigan was fantastic. Let's see. Boy, this is a long email, Salt Lick. It was fun. It was a long day. I think that my wife and I will make it an annual trip. March is a great time to go to Vegas. That's true. If you're thinking about doing this, remember that you are a prop. You are there to make the show look and sound good. Your hands will hurt from applauding. I don't know that we would go to two tapings on the same day again. We did get to see the back of our heads on the TV premiere, so that was exciting. I have plenty of other tidbits from this experience, but this is already way too long, but it covers the general feeling of the day. Thank you guys for doing what you do. Maybe I will bring you another cheesecake sometime. Thank you very much. Fucking you in the face. That's the Salt Lick Scoop.
Salt Lick Scoop. As long as you can tell us exactly what happened second by second that went into creating that cheesecake. Just let me know. Like, I went to the store. Normally I get this kind of crust, but they were out of that kind. So I bought this. There was a guy named Mel. He got a warranty on his car, and for some reason didn't cover everything that was supposed to be covered.
You know, I paid over $200. I was paying $100 a month for that warranty, and it didn't cover anything. The moment that happened, I called and I canceled.
Is that right?
I learned everything.
We have one here from Scoop Mageddon. Greetings, gents of the churn.
I went to two tapings of Foolus recently.
I love and miss you guys. I was wondering, is there a certain song that when you hear it, it triggers a specific memory from your childhood? If so, what's the song and what's the memory that triggers? For example, whenever I hear Basket Case by Green Day, I think of the first time I ever heard that song in Green Day for the first time. It was in my model building club, I know, shut up, in high school. My hippie-esque teacher listened to a lot of rock music in the club and couldn't wait to tell me about them when I asked him about the song. I even remember the model I was building. It was the T-Rex from Jurassic Park, which is the first of a series of the greatest movies ever made. What are yours? So fucking you in the face wrong. With a model T-Rex, Scoop Mageddon. You have any songs that trigger memories?
I have songs that trigger memories, yeah.
Yeah.
Like Hum One. First time riding a bike.
Oh.
There you go. Whenever I hear the Lemonheads cover of Mrs. Robinson, I remember the car wreck that my brother and I survived narrowly on the Clay's Ferry Bridge when he was driving me home from college one time. And he clipped a semi, and we got out with just the bumper being torn off.
Oh, wow.
It could have been bad.
Oh, wow. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah.
No, it's awful. It's a horrible memory.
No, but it's a good, that's a good connective thing.
Oh, it's there.
It's a good example.
I can't, if I'm driving, I don't listen to that song.
Oh.
I don't think I have it on my mix anymore.
You know, like, now having a subscription service for music instead of, buying things a la carte.
Who are you? What are you doing?
I swear to God, I'm still so damaged from the time I got my home broken into and all.
Oh, sure.
And that, like, like the idea of rebuilding my old CD collection.
Oh, well, I mean, you can't.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Wait, so it was
at
stolen.
At this point, you physically can't.
But no, but I can. If I really wanted to, I couldn't go through and just go recollect every...
Right.
Right now, because of the subscription service, I could think of any album I used to own and just have it right now.
That's,
do you know what I'm saying?
Cool. Yeah.
And I love it because I just tell it, like,
what service
play me like a blues playlist.
And it's iTunes.
Yeah, it's just Apple Music.
Apple Music.
I think it's like $11 a month,
yeah,
I think. And
that's about
you just have access to the entire library.
And literally, I'll be driving in my car, I'll hit the button and say, like, play me a 70s rock playlist or something like that. Or play me blues.
But do you worry about them yanking stuff off at certain points?
Not right now.
Own it? Not yet.
No, because my musical tastes, like, get changed or whatever. And that's part of the reason why I haven't gone back and done it. But where this is going is that I decided, you know what? OK Computer is one of the albums that pops in my brain when I think of my old musical collection. Mm-hmm. Radiohead's OK Computer. And I decided, on the long flight, downloaded it, and then, oh my God, I was like, I forgot how much this album just kicks total ass for me.
Right.
I fucking love that album start to finish. And it's so good. And it's so good as an album. And I was like, wow. And it took me right back to, like, great times.
Smashing Pumpkins' Siamese Dream puts me right in my college dorm.
Yo, yeah. Santeria puts me right back in my college dorm.
Also the song.
Sublime.
Oh, God.
Sublime puts me back in my dorm pretty hardcore. Smashing Pumpkins brings me actually to high school.
Yeah.
Smashing Pumpkins is college for me.
Yeah.
Foo Fighters' first album is moving out on my own for the first time, quitting college.
Mm-hmm.
That's my Fuck Everything album. I love that album.
Yeah. I bought Queen's Greatest Hits Volumes 1 and 2
yes!
in the airport on the way to moving to St. John. And so I was like, I was reading Electric Kool Aid Acid Test at the same time.
Mm.
That all is like one giant move memory
right.
for me.
All of mine involve either places like skating rinks,
right.
places like that, or girls.
Yeah,
yeah. All of mine are things like like that song was playing on in this place when I had my first kiss and that kind of thing.
That's exactly what we're talking about, Jacob. Nope.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm joining the conversation.
No,
Matt.
You're too late. Get out.
Fat Boy Slim's Better Living Through Chemistry is my first couple of months in Vegas. When I hear Fat Boy Slim, Better Living Through Chemistry, it's me and Charlie Huddleston driving on the strip and me freaking out that there's palm trees.
Okay.
I actually remember, like, I don't know, we were somewhere, and an old Eric Clapton song came on, but it wasn't, like, super old Eric Clapton,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't, like, you know, whatever, it was, and it wasn't one of his newer, you know, ballads after, right before Unplugged.
Okay.
You know, Unplugged, yeah, that, like, resurgence.
Right.
He had an album that came out around that time.
Okay.
That I bought on cassette, right? And it came on where you and I were somewhere. I was like, this is an obscure Clapton hit. We listened to it. I think we went to Yard House.
Oh, all right.
And and it brings me to like when I had a Walkman. It was like a hand-me-down Walkman from my brothers. And like I would be able to. I had a little fanny pack I'd strapped to my bike that could hold like three cassettes.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
And that was one of the cassettes that I would like ride around my bike with.
I had that badass Sport Walkman.
Oh yeah.
The yellow one.
The yellow one with the fucking clip. Yeah.
It's clip. Like this is locked in.
Yeah. No water.
That is Nine Inch Nails Broken.
Mm.
I had that cassette, and I remember laying in my bed at night listening to that album. This was senior year of high school. Listening to that album, and Happiness and Slavery kicked on, and I was like, what devil shit am I listening to? And it just, that's like lifetime fan moment right there. I was like, this is amazing. This is crazy. I've never heard anything like this ever.
So the answer to your question is yes. There are songs that do that.
Oh, is it just a yes or no question?
Yes.
Oh, I apologize.
Yes, we have. We've had this memory.
Now we have one from Scoops of War. Greetings, you fabulous fuckers.
I went to four tapings of Fool Us.
You'll never guess what happened.
This email is mostly from Matt, so Paul, feel free to whip out your phone for a bit.
Done.
So my girlfriend... He actually did. And has leaned away from his microphone.
Even on mic.
So my girlfriend and I went to see a magic show with her parents. The show was Champions of Magic, consisting of five magicians performing together. I believe I know these guys. But the one that stood out was the most to my girlfriend. I know what the sentence is supposed to say. But the one that stood out most to my girlfriend was the mentalist, Alex. See, Alex performed some tricks, and they really were quite remarkable. He pulled a seemingly random audience member onto the stage and had them answer some basic questions, like their profession, favorite animal, etc. And as they answered, Alex would reveal a little bit more of his chalkboard, showing that he had already written down exactly what the woman was saying. He did another trick where he guessed the name and age of a person, a random participant, what they were thinking of, and all of it was really cool. Now, I have been an avid listener of Sunday School and you guys long enough that I am certain in my mind there was some trickery afoot.
Or what?
Or legitimately psychic.
Or this guy just knows everything and decided he would tour the country doing this?
Yes. My girlfriend, however, bought in completely. Insisting that the mentalist was really good at reading micro expressions and had an actual mental power. How do I deal with the frustration of my girlfriend insisting that this man has actual powers?
He has actual powers.
When I know that he doesn't.
He fooled the fuck out of her.
Yeah.
The obvious question I want to ask is, how did he do that? But I know you'd probably not answer that question even if you could. Thanks for your time, fellas, and I'll see you soon. Fucking you all in your beautiful faces. That's Jeff, a.k.a. the Scoops of War.
Well, here's the thing, Jeff, and the thing about mentalism, as you'll watch this season unfold, is that there's a lot of ways to do it. And in fact, like if you just think of a way, I bet you personally could think of three ways to do right. this trick if you really thought about it. I know I can.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of like there's the most, you know, nefarious way, which mm-hmm. is, you know, you can set somebody up to say it.
You can get someone's name and or email before the show starts mm-hmm. and search for their Facebook profile. You can get information on them like that. There are mentalists who claim to be able to talk to dead people that I have signed non-disclosure agreements that definitely do not do that.
Yeah. But this is why mentalism is so popular, because what mentalism does is it gives people like your girlfriend?
Yes.
His girlfriend.
One of those things. Girlfriend.
It gives your girlfriend a plausible avenue of pursuit. And I actually experimented with this in one of my new tricks I'm doing in my show, as I say what I'm doing is not psychic, and I come up with a really ridiculous method. I'm just me making fun of this concept with a ridiculous method as to how I'm, what I'm doing to decipher a thought that this person has in your show. Just trust me, it's all magic. Otherwise, this person would not be doing what they're doing for a living.
Right.
And all the principles of it are still of magic.
I'm reading
a great book on mentalism. So here's a... If you want, you can actually get a... Here's a book I recommend you getting. The one I'm reading right now is Luke Germay's book. I believe it's called 3510. And in it, he has philosophy and mentalism. He's a great mentalist. He's got great YouTube videos. And he's considered like a real... he stands on the shoulders of giants. He's a very knowledgeable person. Almost like I always said, like his first two chapters should come with like Google attached to it, because all he does is tell you to go to other places to look for great shit. But it's a great place to start for looking into mentalism performances. But in it, he goes over techniques as to how this is done, you know. And there's a lot of really slick, smart ways that you don't think about what they're doing. So I haven't seen this guy's performance. I don't know where he is. But blocking is integral to mentalism, mm-hmm. Without trying to give too much away. But where the person stands, maybe where they move and where they move back to, and what's happening in that distance, maybe sometimes can be ignored. You know, there's certain things like that that can happen.
I was going to say, because he asked for ways to kind of tell his girlfriend that this is a trick. Learn a couple of the tricks.
Yeah.
Do them.
It's definitely a trick.
It's certainly a trick. Yeah.
There's no such thing as micro expressions. I mean, one of the greatest things I do, and I do this to make fun. I do this line in my show where I always say, I say what every magician says, which is, you know what, we all have this ability to be psychic. You know, just some of us work on it harder than others.
Right.
So if you're not psychic, it's because you're lazy and stupid. That's what I always say, because every magician says everything up until that last sentence, and you go like, oh, yeah. And you realize what they're really saying is that you're just a fucking lazy asshole if you're not psychic.
Right.
It's just not true. It's all magic tricks. And giving you a method where you think you know how you solve things is actually taking advantage of the smartest people. So that the fact that your wife believes doesn't make her dumb. It actually makes her kind of smart.
Right.
That she actually thinks she understands that this guy could be doing something is exactly what the mentalist wants you to think.
Right.
And this is why mentalism is so much more powerful than magic. Magic, if I'm doing a magic trick, everyone knows I'm messing with you. And so the thing that you're supposed to be leaving people with a sense of is like, oh, how do they do that? Grr. Right?
Right.
And mentalism has somehow makes you scratches that itch better, where it says like, you know how I'm doing it. You just haven't practiced. You just don't have the perspective that I'm doing it from. It's still just magic tricks. That's all I can tell you. 13 Steps to Mentalism is the most popular starting point for anyone who starts with mentalism. It's a very famous, it's an older book, but it has all kinds of great techniques it's 13 steps. So it builds up your mentalist repertoire, really well. And just the other only thing, which is, it might be unfair, but I'll just give it to you, which is that sometimes it seems like people are working alone when they're not.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. It's the only other thing I can tell you is that most times it drives people crazy. Go like, but if it's just him and blah, 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 blah. And the first part is if it's just him,
yeah,
might not be the case. Mm-hmm. So that's the only thing I can tell you about that.
For instance,
well.
There are no, there's no one out there that claims to be able to talk to dead people that has they definitely do not have very small earpieces and two or three people backstage on laptops trolling people's Facebook accounts to find pictures
How
and names of their dead relatives.
Now?
It's very easy.
It's the easiest thing in the world.
Walk. Like back in the day,
yeah.
There was a little more skill to it.
Definitely.
Well, they had to basically create a Facebook account as people came into the theater.
Right.
Not a Facebook account, you know, but they would do like a poll, like,
right.
Have you had anybody die recently?
I mean, there's a famous scumbag who would send people. It was other people posed as people who were coming into the theater also and just starting conversation online.
Yeah.
I hope he talks, you know, I hope he talks to me about my dead grandmother. What are you hoping he talks to you about?
Right.
And then they just tell that stranger. And then that stranger goes backstage and points him out.
Who's he hopes there, and you talk about his dead grandmother too.
Yeah, like yeah. I've never worked on a show where they sign people up for email newsletters as people come in and then use those emails to find people's Facebook pages.
Oh, God.
I've never worked on a show that did that.
Oh, it's so skeevy.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Skeevy wonder.
So you hope, I'm just glad that these people, that the show you're at, they're using it for entertainment, which is
yes.
great. And the fact that you were thoroughly entertained and your mind was blown and you're debating each other in the car
yes.
means you got your money's worth. That's a good, you went to a good show.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So like, I don't want to.
They didn't go to something where they pretended to be able to talk to your dead child or something.
Right. And I don't want, and I don't want to, me trying to tell you to expose methods or whatever just because you're shifting crazy. That proves that you got like value out of that show. And I think
right.
it was probably means it was a great show to see.
And a piece of advice that you didn't ask for. I would be nice and just have more of a fun conversation with your girlfriend about this, even when you do find methods and that kind of thing.
Yeah, as soon as I hear the word micro-expressions, you go like, all right, what are they really doing?
Right.
That's what my trigger is.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone says like, and it's a good way, because here's the good news about what happened that with that mentalist, and why that, when the fact that you're even calling them a mentalist. This person used to be called a psychic,
mm-hmm.
and now they're not doing it as a psychic. And what they're doing right there and saying micro-expressions, they don't want to expose their magic trick. Neither does any magician.
That's it.
And instead of saying they're psychic, they're actually taking a more moral position to come over and say, I'm using this other method. So even though they're still lying to you, but as every magician does, at least they're not saying that they know shit that you can't possibly know.
Right.
And that's at least a good step in the great moral direction. So I'm still happy with the mentalist you saw that day.
There you go.
All right.
It's time to do a little Jock versus Nerd.
You want to do a little Jock versus Nerd action?
Oh, am I?
Fuck yeah.
I'm on the hunt for balls.
Yes. Balls.
I'm on the hunt for balls.
We got one here from...
Explosion. I was just saying, like, Paul and I, right now, in the show that we're doing, the Hillbilly Show... We're making fun of people who speak in code to each other. There are people who speak amazingly well in code. And the thing that I laugh about is that you and I could probably learn a code.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
we you know,
very
I didn't,
easily.
I did not see the things you got.
That's true. I'm just giving bad bad clues.
Yeah.
But we're basically doing that improv game of interrogation
right.
via psychic chicken. That's the psychic chicken hunk. And
yep.
that's why magicians love it because of it. Because magicians actually relax. Because we're not doing any magic move that they are already aware of.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that we're doing something like every magician that comes to see that show loves that part the most because they're actually just watching an improv game.
Yep.
And I laugh because I was like, Paul and I probably could just learn a kick-ass magic code and just
nail it. We could probably throw that in the mix.
But the thing is that the comedic that we're doing is something that no one else is doing
right,
in the magic world.
What we're doing.
And the audience really likes it.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's like, That's it. So I'm conflicted.
Yeah.
So like, you really, I don't think it would take us.
We'll find some other thing to do.
Yeah, because you and I don't think it would take us very long to come up with something like that.
No, but But the code that we do is so fun.
Yeah, and it is from years and years of playing interrogation.
Yeah, it's just stupid. It's puns. That's all it is puns.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How many puns can we do on this object
right.
and things connected to it?
Yeah,
and I went, and even if we go south, it's funnier.
Oh, yeah.
If we go wrong, it's even funny.
Yeah, when we go really wrong, it's usually where the audience enjoys it the most.
Like, what are you talking
That's
about?
Why I'll always, if I see something too specific, I always go like, I'm going to go for the specificity of this object.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to do the loose one.
Yeah. We had military ID yesterday. That was
interesting. Military ID.
Oh, I was wondering if you were going to, that was the only one that I looked at. I was like, oh, he might not get this one.
Yeah, and we had a specific store. It was Power Cafe Value Coupon is what we had.
Oh, wow.
Which I got you to say Power Cafe was what it was.
Oh, that
thing.
Was okay.
Yeah, but it was one of those punch cards, you know, buy nine drinks,
right,
get
right,
the
right.
tenth free. And I
you
was
know
like,
what's crazy?
Yeah.
I envisioned like a portable espresso machine.
Oh, with my clues?
Yeah. Well, when he got to Power Cafe, I'm like,
Oh, all right.
I have portable espresso. I mean, some people really need it. They brought it to a magic show. That's a little weird.
But I get, you know, I get. I mean, could you have like a mini Keurig?
The guy just pulled it right out of his...
Right, you could make a mini Keurig. Is there a mini Keurig?
Probably.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, purse size?
No.
Okay. Well, now we got something to pay for.
Maybe, yes.
I don't know.
There's a lot of big purses out there.
Yeah.
I'm sure you fit a regular Keurig in like a hobo bag. You know?
Right.
Hobo bags.
Hobo bags are a legit term. I found out at one Christmas.
They're big right now.
Yeah.
They're always big. That's the whole point.
Most of the girls at work have giant-ass bags right now.
So we have a Jock vs. Nerd here from Old Ricky. And I like this one. This is a Google-based. The rules are simple. You try to guess what Google will auto-complete the sentence with. For example, if I type, could I be, Google suggestions include, could I be a model? Could I be wearing any more clothes? Could I be pregnant? Could I be pregnant with twins?
Oh, I like this.
And could I be lyrics?
What does Google auto-complete to based on the most popular?
So you earn 1 point for each correct answer. Alternate giving answers until both of you give up, or Jacob gets tired of your bullshit and moves on to the next entry. Jacob is the judge and can award points for any answers that impress him, whether they are correct or not.
Whoa, this is so arbitrary.
Yeah.
Jacob, are you drunk with
Unlike
power?
Unlike everything we've Always. Ever done on these.
Yeah, usually we're very...
Breaking the form here, guys.
Matter of the law.
Yeah. I've included the top 10 answers where available. I only included the answers that exactly matched my entry. For example, if I typed Jacob with a C, I eliminated any answers that listed Jacob with a K. So there we go. Eat shit. And that's Uli Dig. Cup of scoop. So the first sentence is, and so remember, you're each going to give one answer at a time. And we'll start with Paul. I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 10. What's the number?
8.
That's right. So we're going to start with Paul. So, Paul, the first sentence is...
Mentalism.
Matt and Mattingly...
You just heard mentalism, guys.
Yeah.
Matt and Mattingly...
So if I type in Matt and Mattingly into the Google search bar, what is the next... What is the autofill?
I believe it's Ice Cream Social.
Incorrect.
Is it Matt? Pocket Show? Fuck.
Improv?
Incorrect. Paul?
So
far, you're both tied at zero.
Matt and Mattingly, Las Vegas.
Incorrect.
Comedy?
Incorrect.
Assholes?
Well, now we know that you guys don't Google yourselves.
No.
Dog?
No. All right, well, as per the rules, I'm now bored of this one, so I'm going to move on. Okay. The three that he has on here are Wiki is the number one. That's the first thing that pops up.
Matt and Mattingly Wiki comes up.
Bucket Show.
Ah, Bucket Show does come
and, up. And Patreon. Matt and Mattingly Patreon is the third thing that comes up.
Okay, great.
So, Matt, if I type in the words jock versus, what's the next thing that comes up?
Jock.
Let's see. I'm going to give you a point for that one. One of them is athlete.
Okay.
So jock versus athlete is that's a good one. So Matt gets a point. What do you think, Paul?
Fungus.
I'm afraid not. I'm afraid not. Matt?
Bathrobe.
No? No?
Strap.
You guys are thinking...
Jock versus strap.
What I'm discovering is you guys are thinking that we are less popular than we are.
Nerd.
Nerd is the number one thing.
Wow.
Athlete was number two. Prep is number three. Jock versus nerd day is the number four. That is the number four thing. Sterling Jewelers is one. So, there you go. Let's see. If you type in Jacob the letter A, Jacob the letter A.
Asshole.
What do we go from there? I'm sorry, not asshole.
That's what says on my computer.
That's just your screensaver.
Artist.
Jacob the I don't see artist.
Audio guy.
Audio guy is on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Some other ones that we have on here are Angel, Amish weatherman ordering a sandwich. We have actor. That's very specific.
Yeah.
Amish, apostle, sure. Amish weatherman, Amish weatherman Super Bowl, Amish weatherman jingle bells. And Amish man.
All right.
So there are just a lot of...
Jacob the Amish man.
A lot of Amish...
That is true, yeah.
A lot of Amish Jacobs, I guess.
Yeah, there is, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was... that's the Children of the Corn guy, right?
Oh, is it?
I think the kid's name was Jacob, right?
Oh, I think you're right.
Yeah, and that was kind of like Amish gone horribly wrong.
Okay.
I think.
All right, so here's the next one. We have the famous and then the letter P. So if I typed in the famous plus the letter P,
penis.
What would the next one be?
Penis.
It's Peace all Street. Penis. It's Peace all penis. Matt already won 78 points.
Is it famous penis?
The first 78 suggestions are penis.
Whoa.
All of them.
All right.
Penis.
So what'd you say?
Pastry.
The famous pastry? I mean, sounds delightful.
I'm
going to
go with Picasso?
The painting. Famous Picasso should be it. Painting is actually on here. Painting.
Oh, see, I went too specific. Yeah.
And there's one, the next one down from painting is the famous painting, The Scream.
Oh.
Yeah. So people are obviously, they're very high art.
Edvard Munch.
The painter, the famous painter. We have the famous people, the famous person, the famous person in the world. I bet that's supposed to be the most famous person in the world.
That's Google just adjusting to dumb.
And then my two favorites. Oh, we have also the famous park in New York. and then we have
what's that park?
What's that famous park in New York?
Middle Park.
It's very middly located.
Parkour.
Betwixt Park.
I think that's it. Betwixt Park.
Betwixt Park.
Betwixt
Park. My two favorites on here are the famous polka and the famous pig song.
Oh, nice.
The famous pig.
No, is it what is that?
I don't know. The famous pig song? I don't know.
Can you search it?
Yes, I can. All you have to type in is the famous P, and it auto-populates to the famous pig song. That's easy.
Auto-population sometimes has to do with the IP address, no? Or does it?
I have no idea.
That's what I was curious about. It feels a little vulnerable.
Well, Google manipulates it.
That's what I'm wondering.
Right.
They control it. And it's not only IP address, it's how much have you paid to put your search first.
Well, right, right.
Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, we get...
Big Google.
We get emails all the time from services that would put us higher on Google and that kind of thing. We're already pretty high on Google.
Yeah.
So I never pay attention to those. The last one.
You're talking about manually, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we always get those in our inbox.
The last one here is Preaching F. Preaching F.
Fuck.
Fuck. That's all of them. Preaching fucks.
But it wouldn't auto-populate fuck,
no,
right?
No.
Preaching
family.
No, I'm afraid not. No family in this one, Paul.
Preaching frugality.
Fundamentals.
I like frugality. Preaching I would really frugality. Like it to be frugality. The first one is preaching format. So if you're going to do a sermon, they'll give you a format, I guess. That'd be my guess. Preaching for profit.
Mm-hmm.
Preaching from iPad. Preaching for youth. Preaching from the pulpit. Preaching for the rest of us. Preaching for dummies.
Yeah.
Right next to preaching from the Bible. Preaching for money. And preaching friars.
Yeah.
I would really like to preach friars. You find the famous pig song, Paul?
Are you ready?
Listen preaching to that. I don't know.
I'm an idiot. Preaching friars is just like a regular, that's a thing.
I think so, yeah.
Friars that preach.
Right.
I'm like, who are the preaching friars?
Right.
Is it friars like the religious people or friars like deep friars?
I didn't even think about it being religious people. I was just thinking like fry cooks at McDonald's.
These fries are delicious. I testify.
Yes, we all agree, Troy.
I'm preaching these fries.
Yeah, you tell us this every day, Troy. I don't. You make it sound like it's a surprise every time. It never is.
They're double fried. Does it make them extra crispy? What do they call those things? Fat Daddy? The fryers?
The Fat Daddy fryers?
Fat Daddy. Preaching Fat Daddies.
We used to have one of those as a kid. So dangerous.
Every time I see a shallow fryer.
They're
awful.
Every time I see one in Sam's Club or something like that, I have to resist buying one.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you do the right thing. If you've ever worked around, like, I mean, having a delicious fryer is one thing. But, any fryer you've ever worked at in a restaurant, it's very deep. It's a very deep well they put there.
And it's probably a good deal hotter than you can possibly do in your home.
Yeah, like if an uncontrollable amount of fry oil spilling in your home, it seems like such a bad idea. There's not a lot
awful.
Of good ways to handle it.
It seems
like something to really, do really in shit. In the backyard.
Yeah.
Maybe in the garage with the snakes.
Yeah, that's where I'd fry. I'd fry a snake.
Fry a snake.
Famous pig song. 'Twas an evening in October, I'll confess, I wasn't sober. I was carting home a load with manly pride. When my feet began to stutter and I fell into the gutter, and a pig came up and lay down by my side. Then I lay there in the gutter and my heart was all a flutter, till a lady passing by did chance to say, "You can tell a man that boozes by the company he chooses."
Boozes by the company he chooses.
Then the pig got up and slowly walked away. Walked away, walked away. He was really too particular to stay. You can tell a man that boozes by the company he chooses. Then the pig got up and slowly walked away. Then I heard a gentle mooing. It was like a pigeon cooing. As returning home, a cow stopped in her stride. And her eyes were big and gentle, her expression sentimental, as she curtsied low and sat down by my side. And then I saw her eyelids flutter, and a tear fell in the gutter, as the owner of the cow did loudly say, "Leave that brute this moment, Sonia, or your milk will curdle on you." Then the cow got up and slowly walked away. So this is all about this man not being able to fuck animals.
No.
Isn't everything about that?
The next thing is about moons. You've heard this one before.
No.
Oh, yeah.
It's the famous pig song. Of course I haven't.
Pig song. What says the next one is something about a moon and then a goat. Wait, is it about a moon? No, a dog, a goat. Yeah. A dog, a goat, a pig. Boy, this goes a long way. Yeah, so he's upset he can't fuck an animal. They don't like his company.
No.
You can tell a man that boozes by the company he chooses.
Well, there you go. I feel like we've all won Jock versus Nerd today.
You say so.
I just want to go and fuck a cow.
Well, it is Sunday.
The Lord's Day. The Lord's Day.
Thursday, probably, when people hear
it. Oh, it's true. It is Thursday.
Yeah. Which is way past cow fucking day.
Yeah, yeah. Or you can look at it the other way. It's almost cow fucking day.
that's how I prefer to look at it.
Look at me, the pessimist about cow fucking over here.
Yeah. Matt, it's almost cow fucking day. Cheer up.
Matt's cow vagina is always half empty.
I want to thank Penn Jillette for creating this podcast.
Thank you, Penn.
And I also have a buttload of people to thank here. Cameron Hall, goat fucker.
I'd like to thank A. Riley, dog hunter.
Carl Reamer, dog fucker.
Aaron, cat fucker.
Refrigerator Periscope, alligator fucker.
Adam Morris, zebra hucker.
Carolyn Albert, raccoon fucker.
Adam Rizbick, cow fucker.
Scoopaluga, beaver fucker.
Alan Shepard, surprisingly, dog fucker, not a goat fucker.
Campbell's Tomato Scoop, frog fucker.
Rule Scoopatania, fish fucker.
Charles Eaton, monkey fucker. Alex, not that monkey.
Oh, Alex Rick.
That's a prude monkey.
Zebra fucker.
A scoop of root canal. Giraffe fucker.
Alfonso Gerardo Garcia Diaz Barraga. He is a fucker of goats.
Chris Ellis, fucker of roosters.
Amo Skiva, fucker of turtles.
Chris Fisher, fucker of chicks.
Andrew Howes, fucker of earthworms.
Gasman Scoop, skunk fucker.
Andrew Oshuk, beetle fucker.
Scoop to my Lou, pigeon fucker.
Andrew Spencer, fucker of rhinoceri.
Chris Stewart, turtle fucker.
Andy Cheek, snake fucker.
Christina Nicholson, owl fucker.
Andy Cheever, beaver fucker.
Christine Elsesser, falcon fucker.
Angela Chan, sparrow fucker.
Scoopaholic, eagle fucker.
Ant Foods, ant fucker.
Christopher Buckholz, cockroach fucker.
Anton Jernberg, fucker of whales.
Christopher Hayworth, lightning bug fucker.
Farmhurst Scoop, motherfucker.
Christopher Scalenda, potato bug fucker.
Osti Spumoni, bottle fucker.
Christina Salinas, parakeet fucker.
The Scoop Crone. Turtle fucker again.
Cliff Hughes. Sloth fucker.
There are more turtle fuckers than others because it's easy to catch them.
That's right. Yeah. Scoop Chang, the Beijing
like a chick.
Bugle, bear fucker.
Cody Ryan, the Hawaiian ooh-ooh-ah-ah fucker.
BJ Joyer, a kookapoo fucker.
Colin Eric Cross, a flamingo fucker.
Ben Kapal, a kiwi fucker.
Corian Ichimura, a koi fucker.
Ben Dennis, a rat fucker.
Courtney Jadidian, celibate.
Ben Gal, kangaroo fucker.
Didn't see that one coming.
No. Craig Little, traffic light fucker.
Ben Sherman Scoop, he fucks the Joeys in the kangaroo's pouch.
That's rude.
Bad Parade Scoop, Pringles can fucker.
Betsy Boop Scoop, dirt fucker.
Dale Mulqueenie, tuna can fucker.
Bill Reese, Reese's Cup fucker.
Dan Lozer, actual tuna fish fucker.
Scoopiter Ascending, jiggle fish fucker.
Dan Martin, bottle of whiskey fucker.
Nola Scoop, what's that? Platypus fucker.
Dan Martin, just two handfuls of freshly mowed grass fucker.
Boba Scoop.
It's nice.
Is a beaver fucker.
Daniel Grabois, woodchuck fucker.
Bobby Becerra, a lemon fucker.
Daniel Harden, snake fucker.
The Scooplakian, a block fucker.
Danny Nichols, lizard fucker.
Brandon Pugh, a skunk fucker.
Darren Riffle, rifle fucker.
Brandon Lounsbury, possum fucker.
Darth Scooper, shoe polish fucker.
Brandon Winters, elephant fucker.
Brian Terrell, a finely made Swiss clock fucker.
Galusha Scoop, a fire fucker.
Brian Gregston, freshly collected rain in a bag fucker.
Oh, that'd probably be refreshing. Brian Davis, jar of mayonnaise fucker.
Pralines and Dick, weird vegan alternative to mayonnaise, probably cashew-based fucker.
Water ice scoop, abandoned refrigerator fucker. Brian Maddox, fucker of McDonald's land slides. Brian Richard, he fucks the fry guys.
Fuck you all.
Preaching
fuck
fryers.
You all in the face and mouth forever.
I don't want that cup of scoop. Wendy Cooper, white chocolate scoop. William Jennings, turn the page. Andrew J. Hughes, Andrew January, Frozen Cusser, Holly Marshmallow, Lightly, Bailey Cohen, Barry A. Spaeth, Benjamin K., Brad Martin, Bradley Golder, Brendan Helm, Brendan Light, Brian Irma, Imra, Unbanned Scoop, Scoop, Lensman Scoop, Cameron Kiddo, The Ice Cream Headache, Music Scoop, Spam Flavor, Charles Giuseppe, Charles Vanader, The Micro Scoop, Freehold Scoop, Heavy Creamer Scoop, Houdizi, Christopher Huff, Clayton Shoney, Colleen Stanke, Costa Davis, Devantzis? Yes. Craig Blackie, Dana Kate, Dave Bogus, and Dave Malone. Thank you, guys.
Thank you guys so much. And if you want to find out who you fuck, you can support us at preachingfun.com, where we find you something to fuck.
Spoiler, it's everybody else.
You might not like what we find you to fuck, but...
And, you can go to our Twitch page. We're not on it right now. We're working on it. Part of what's going to happen with you back us on Patreon is we're going to get a new studio. With that, we can relaunch the Bucket Show, as well as put this show back on Twitch. But if you go to thebucketshow.com, that's a Twitch page. And you can just click on if you're an Amazon Prime member, and we just get money from Amazon for you just clicking on
that's
it.
True.
Huge,
so,
guys. So,
so make sure to link that,
can do that
as well. We also have a bunch of merchandise. If you want to go buy a T-shirt or a couple of other things we sell, like hats and things like that, you can go to heyscoops.com and look for our merchandise page, our swag,
that's right.
Page. Look
that
for that
swag,
there.
Get
that
swag.
Get
that
swag. And
the other way to get merchandise from us is to come to one of our live events, such as Scoop Fest Las Vegas 2018. It's happening this year in October. The 11th is the VIP day, where we're going to Tournament of Kings. The 12th, 13th, and 14th, we're doing the main Scoop Fest. It's going to be nuts. We've got a great lineup of different podcasts that are going to be here. We are going to do a Scoop Talent Show. We're going to do, of course, our welcome, the Scoop Variety Show, or the Hey Scoops Variety Show. It's gonna be fantastic. You can hang out with us. You can hang out with other scoops, which is much more important, and just have a great time.
And if you're a listener subscriber, thank you so much. Make sure you set your settings to downloads. It helps us out for our stats. And if you feel so inclined and you like what we're doing, go over to iTunes and write us a little review over there. That would help us out also. And if you feel like telling someone about us, that's the best way that we grow. So if you just pick one person only.
Just one person.
Otherwise,
guys.
It's a pyramid scheme, and we don't do pyramid schemes.
That's not how we roll.
Yeah, we do an obelisk scheme. So go ahead and check that out. Turn one person onto our podcast. We'd really appreciate it.
We've said it before, but it's worth repeating. The best way. It is absolutely the best way. It's the way that we grow the most, just by you telling a friend that you think will appreciate the show about us. We have paid people to do this. We have paid services and professionals that do this for a living, and none of it has been as good as just you guys doing it.
Yep. Yeah. And if you want to chat with us, you can follow Paul on Twitter at TheFamousPaul.
You can follow Matt at SweetMattyD.
And you can hit Jacob up at AudioGuyJacob.
Or you can follow us all over the place at HeyScoops. We're at HeyScoops on every social media platform.
Guys, if you're in New Jersey this weekend, we will be too.
Yeah, I guess we still have tickets available technically for turnout. So if you want to come to Tierney's, we'll be at Tierney's Tavern July 14th. Live podcast at 1 o'clock, magic show at 3:30, improv shows at 5, and then shots of Jameson at 7.
Yeah,
make
just
that
hanging
last
out.
Minute decision. Do it.
Yeah. There's already 110 scoops coming, so you can join them.
There are a few available.
Oh, yeah.
A few spots available.
It's really crazy.
I can't wait.
And you can buy those tickets at the door. You can buy those just when you get there.
All right.
It's not going to be a vacation, Paul. We're going to be tired as fuck.
I mean, it's going to be a lot of work, but...
We're going to be exhausted. It's going to be fun.
We're going to
be exhausted.
Chicken. It's a lot of work.
It's true. It does tax me mentally.
Also, the mental taxing that you're going to get from me being in the back of the audience during the Hillbill show... Just drunk and heckling.
That's true.
Oh, talk about mental taxing.
You're drunk butt.
All right, speaking of getting drunk, I love you all sexually. We will see you soon.
We'll see you soon.
Up your wieners.
You heard it. Love you.